Chapter 18. Taverner and I were immediately driven to Swinley Dean in a fast police car. On the way, I remembered how Josephine had talked about a second murder. The poor child hadn't known that she was to be the second victim. Josephine must know something about the murder that we didn't. I remembered the snap of the twig in the garden. I should have taken better care of Josephine. Had Magda realized that her daughter was in danger? Was that why she suddenly wanted Josephine to go away to school in Switzerland? As we arrived, Sophia came out to meet us. Josephine, she said, was in the local hospital, and Dr. Gray would telephone as soon as there was any news.
How did it happen? Asked Taverner.
Sophia led us round to the back of the house and through a door to a small yard. In one corner was an old wash house. Josephine likes to play here, she explained. The wash house was small and dark inside, and full of wooden boxes and old broken furniture. Just inside the door was a stone doorstop. It's the doorstop from the front door, Sophia explained. It must have been balanced on top of the door.
A booby trap, said Taverner,
reaching up a hand to touch the top of the low door. Then he looked at the doorstop.
Has anyone touched this?
No, said Sophia. I told everyone not to.
You're quite right. Who found her?
I did. She didn't come in for dinner at 1 o'clock. Nanny said she had seen Josephine go outside about a quarter of an hour before. I said I would go and get her, replied Sophia.
Who knew that Josephine liked to play here? Asked Taverner.
Everyone in the house knew, Sophia said. No one really comes out here except her.
And you can't see this little yard from the house, said Taverner thoughtfully. Anyone could have set that booby trap.
He looked up at the door.
She was unlucky, he said. It could easily have missed her.
Next, Taverner looked at the floor. There were various deep marks in it.
It looks as if someone tried the doorstop out first to see just where it would fall.
We didn't hear anything, said Sophia. We had no idea until I found her lying face down. Her voice shook. There was blood on her hair.
Is that Josephine's?
Taverner pointed to a wool scarf lying on the floor. Yes. Using the scarf, Taverner carefully picked up the stone doorstop.
There may be fingerprints, he explained, though he spoke without much hope.
What are you looking at, Charles?
I was examining an old wooden chair with a broken back, which was with the other old furniture. On the seat of the chair were a few small pieces of mud.
Interesting, said Taverner. Someone stood on that chair with muddy feet. Now, why was that?
I had no suggestions. Taverner shook his head.
What time did you find Josephine, Miss Leonides?
About 1:05.
And Nanny saw her going out about 20 minutes earlier. Has anyone else been out here today?
I've no idea, said Sophia. But Josephine herself was here after breakfast this morning.
So someone set the trap between then and 1:15. Did you notice that the doorstop was missing?
Sophia shook her head. It's been too cold to have the door open today, she explained.
And do you know where everyone was this morning?
I went out for a walk, replied Sophia. Eustace and Josephine had lessons until 12:30, with a break at 10:30. I think Father has been in the library all morning, and Mother was just getting up when I came in at 12:15. She doesn't get up very early. We went back into the house, and I followed Sophia to the library. Philip and Magda were sitting close together. Philip's face was white, and Magda was crying. Have they telephoned from the hospital yet? Sophia asked. Philip shook his head.
Why wouldn't they let me go with her? Cried Magda. My baby, my funny, ugly baby. She hated it when I called her that. She'll die. I know she'll die.
Hush, my dear, said Philip. Hush.
I felt that I had no place in this sad family scene, so instead I went to find Nanny. She was sitting in the kitchen, crying quietly.
This is all because of me, Mr. Charles, because of the awful things I've been thinking.
I didn't understand what she meant.
There is wickedness in this house, Nanny continued. I didn't want to see it or believe it. But somebody killed Mr. Leonides, and the same somebody has tried to kill Josephine.
But why should anyone try to kill Josephine? I asked.
You know what she's like, Mr. Charles, Nanny said. She always wants to know things and find out things. You see, she was always a very ordinary little girl, not good-looking like her brother and sister. Her mother sometimes ignored her and said she was ugly. Josephine hated that, and it had a bad effect on her. She started sneaking around and spying on people, but that isn't safe when there's a poisoner about.
I murmured in agreement, and then I remembered something. Do you know where Josephine kept her little black book, where she wrote things down? I asked Nanny.
I've no idea, Mr. Charles. It wasn't with her when she was found.
Had someone taken Josephine's notebook, or had she hidden it in her own room? I thought I would go and look. I went upstairs and stopped. I didn't know where Josephine's room was, but then I heard Taverner calling me.
Come in here, he said. I'm in the girls' room. It's a real mess.
The small room was indeed a mess. Drawers had been pulled out, and their contents thrown on the floor. Everything had been pulled off the small bed. The chairs had been turned upside down, and the pictures taken down from the wall. Someone had been looking for something.
Did anyone hear or see anything? I asked.
It seems not, said Taverner. I've checked, and anyone in the house could have done this, and set the booby trap. It could have been Philip, Magda, Nanny, or your girl, Sophia. Brenda was alone all morning. Lawrence Brown and Eustace had a half-hour break from lessons, and Mr. Haviland was in the garden alone. Roger was in his study, and even Clemency didn't go to work today. I've no idea who it was, or what they were looking for.
I suddenly remembered where I had seen Josephine last. Wait, I said, and ran out of the room and up the stairs to the attic where Josephine had been detecting. It was dark, and the ceilings were low, but it was a good place to hide things, I thought, as I started to search properly. Indeed, it didn't take me long to find a packet of letters wrapped in brown paper. I read the first letter.
Oh, Lawrence, my darling, my dear love, I'm sure everything will be all right. Aristide has been so good to me. I don't want him to suffer, but there can't be any pleasure in living when you're over 80. Soon we shall be together for always. How wonderful it will be when I can call you my dear, dear husband. I love you, love you, love you.
I grimly went downstairs and gave Taverner the letters. This might be what someone was looking for, I told him. Taverner looked through the letters and read a few lines. Then he looked up at me with a satisfied expression on his face.
So, it was them, he said quietly. Brenda Leonides and Lawrence Brown. It was them the whole time.